always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
I also want to pay our deepest respects to the two young missionaries from Missouri, Davey and Natalie Lloyd, that were viciously killed yesterday in Haiti. It was a horrible thing, and I just want to pay our respects to their families, their great families, incredible people, and it's a very, very sad moment that what happened was so horrible.
That was former President Donald J. Trump reflecting on a story that has affected us all very deeply here in the heartland, especially here in the state of Missouri. Current State Representative Ben Baker suffered a loss, Chris, that it's hard to even talk about, much less try to put into words. Lost his beautiful, wonderful, just incredibly magnificent daughter, Natalie, along with his son-in-law, Davey Lloyd. They were... You know, we sometimes joke about this or we make it a cliche. They were doing the Lord's work in Haiti. And Chris, this has been something that's afflicted mankind for eons, where we see missionaries going into troubled areas. This goes back to the 1500s. And for whatever reason, those missionaries, I guess because they're the most vulnerable, they're the ones that are attacked. It's just a horrific incident.
They are, and a lot of the missionaries know that some of the places they will be going will be dangerous places and places that they could be harmed or lose their lives. But they have such a love for Christ, and they have such a love to see those that are unsaved saved and be in eternity in heaven, that they're willing to take those risks, and they love their fellow man. You know, there's a passage in the Bible that says there's no greater love than a person that's willing to give up their life for another individual. And I know Davey and Natalie did not want to willingly, of course, give up their lives, but unfortunately that was the situation, and there's no greater measure of love than that.
They seriously put themselves voluntarily in the pathway of harm because they were trying to do good. They really represent the best of the best amongst us, and they are the daughter and son-in-law of a very good friend of mine, Representative Ben Baker, who's going to be joining us here in just a second. And Ben, of course, has gone through, Ben and his wonderful wife Naomi, they're from Neosho, Missouri, down in the southwest part of the state. Ben is a wonderful, he's a great legislator, but he's a wonderful human being, and he's got a wonderful family. And I've watched him all weekend long doing something that I never wanted to watch him doing, and that was talking about this incident. When I found out that he was starting to do some radio interviews, I reached out to my old producer Cass, who now works at the Vitae Foundation. She's been doing an admirable job being the media spokesperson for the family. And I said, Cass, if Ben is ready to do any radio in St. Louis, we would be honored to have him to tell this story, how you all can help, and to give us an update on this situation, which is probably still changing moment by moment. So welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show, 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Without further ado, let's get to Missouri State Representative Ben Baker. Ben, good afternoon. Welcome to the program. And Ben, as I was saying, there's no words that can sum all this up, but just know that all of our hearts have been broken here in Missouri, in St. Louis. We are overwhelmed with grief along with you, and we're so thankful that you're willing to come and join us today and tell us the latest on this horrible tragedy.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's been difficult in many, many ways. I've never faced anything like this and the pain that comes with it. But Naomi and I, soon afterward, you know, knowing that we would probably get a lot of media inquiries and different things, you know, had to make some decisions regarding that. And one of the things that we both agreed on strongly was that we wanted Davey and Natalie's story to be told. And because there's so many reasons why it should be. And they were a perfect example of a selfless life that cared not first for themselves, but cared for others first. And it was exemplified in everything that they did, the sacrifices that made, and ultimately the ultimate sacrifice. So we're just trying to work our way through this. It's something that I never imagined we would face. The support of so many people, our friends and family, and I've gotten hundreds, if not thousands, of messages from people, of course in Missouri, but from around the world. And the impact that this is having on people's lives has been remarkable. And so, I can't understand all of it and why, but I also see that the Lord is somehow using this for His glory and for something good and changing people's lives. And, so that's something that is a part of what's keeping us going right now.
Representative Baker, this is Chris Arps. Who were Natalie and David Loy? Tell us their story. How did they meet and how did they get involved in doing missionary work in Haiti?
Sure. I'll try to summarize it. There's so much I could talk about. But, you know, Davy's parents have been there for many years, 24, 25 years in Haiti. That's what they were called to do, and started missions in Haiti there. Davy grew up there. He was fluent in Creole. Him and his sister, actually, when they were 5 years old, were kidnapped by people in Haiti, and miraculously their kids were returned. And I remember I was in Bible school when this happened, and we remember praying for them because we supported them back then, and knowing, you know, or not knowing at that time that Davy would ever be a part of our family. And years later, they met in Bible school when they went to Bible school, and we saw, you know, the interest there between them. And one of the things that we, and Natalie was just such a blessed young person, just wise beyond her years, meek and mild, but strong and determined as well. Very stubborn. Probably got that some from me and my wife as well. But when we saw this relationship pursuing, we sat down with Natalie and said, this is something, you know, Davy had expressed that his desire was to go back to Haiti. That was what God had called him to do. And, so we told Natalie, you need to go see what it's like, you know. And so we sent her over there. She went for about a 2-week trip and to see what Haiti was like, to see what the mission was like. And when she came back, I'll never forget, she had a big smile on her face. And, you know, I asked her, well, how did it go? What do you think? Is it something you can do? You know, and she said, Dad, I fell in love with Haiti. And I fell in love with the kids, you know. And so we knew then that God had a plan and had brought them together. And Davy was also exceptional. Just, I mean, what 20-year-old, 20, 21-year-old can build their own house before they get married and do almost all of the work themselves? There's not many out there, I'll tell you that. Yes. And Davy was a hard worker, but just a joy to be around. And he treated Natalie like a queen. Just became such a big part of our family. He was one of us. And so they pursued and ended up getting engaged and getting married. Not long after they got married, they went full-time to Haiti. And though it was tough for us, it was something we always taught our kids, you know, to pursue the will of God, to do His will first. And, we encouraged them to follow that will, and that's where it led them. Not knowing that it would end up like this, but, there are no regrets for us. There's always the what ifs and all those things that come to mind, but ultimately we know that Davy and Natalie's story is going to change lives, and it already has.
Ben, these are two amazing individuals. From just the little you've been able to describe to us, I'm sure you could go on for hours. These are professional angels on earth. And Ben, so for people who ask you, well, why did they go, or why did you allow them to go, or why would you? Well, Ben, that question can be asked of anybody that bravely puts themselves in harm's way, right? Why do people become police officers? Why do they become combat veterans? Why do they become missionaries? Why do they join the Peace Corps? Ben, and so many of these people are Americans, right? If America America is to turn its back on the entire world and never have people that go there and do that, the world would be even a darker place, right? And it was probably a brighter place because of everything that Davey and Natalie did, literally doing the Lord's work in Haiti.
Yeah, it is. It's a dark place. Haiti is, and we knew that. But the darkest places need the light. And, you know, the thing, if you look at Natalie's Facebook profile, she put on there, I want to live intentionally in the light of eternity. And that's exactly what they did, as difficult as it is. And I think the problem is, you know, you won't completely understand it without faith, you know, the faith element and understanding that our lives as Christians really aren't our own. And I know it goes, flies in the face of our current culture, which is very selfish and narcissistic. Mm-hmm. And that is whatever I want to do pleases me and I don't care about anything else. But the mentality, the biblical mentality of the Christian life is the opposite of that. It's others before self and making sacrifices to reach especially those that are lost and have never heard the gospel. And you read stories about people like Jim Elliot and the Fox's Book of Martyr, as I've read those things, never knowing that I would be faced with a situation like this where my own kids are a modern day example of that. And I think that's something that's powerful. This generation has never really seen one of, you know, a martyr of that type or that level in their generation. And it's already making a major impact with young people because they, you know, they're experiencing this and paying attention to the story. And I think it's going to have a lot of influence. So, you know, again, without that faith element, I don't think people will ever really understand. You know, you can always ask why. Why would people go to a dangerous place? Well, we have risk everything that we do. Hey, just go downtown St. Louis. Mm-hmm. You're risking your life, right? So there's risk with everything that we do, but at the very least, you can say that risk was had such a great reward. And we'll never really know until we get there to be with them again to see that.
Representative Baker, a lot of times in senseless tragedies like this, unbelievers will ask, how can a loving and gracious God let something like this happen to two people that are doing the Lord's work? I want you to address that. I also want you to talk about, you know, there's a Pastor Greg Laurie. There was a movie that was made about his life last year. And tragically, one of his sons died in their 20s of a car accident. And 4 days after the accident, Pastor Laurie preached that Sunday, and the message of his the title of his message was, I Still Believe. Can you talk about your faith and talk about that?
It's powerful. And it's one of those things that it's that element of faith that you can, the only way that you can understand that. But the bottom line is this, like, our lives are not our own. When we had our children, we dedicated all of them after they were born to the Lord, just like Samuel in the Bible, which is literally lifting them up, saying, they are yours, understanding that there's a sovereign God that we, you know, we can't understand to that level of all of his plan and what he does with that. And yes, we question, we're human. Yes, we have anger. Yes, we have hurt. Yes, we have, you know, all those emotions that come with being human. He made us that way, and it's a part of being human. But, you know, again, what he can do with situations like this is far beyond what we can really even fathom. You know, I mean, I look at this as the possibility of the next generation. Imagine and I think it's already happening, the influence that this is having on this generation regarding missions work. And you know, inspiring young people to say, hey, if they gave their lives at that age to reach people that they love so deeply that even returned it with evil in the end, but they still did it, knowing that that was a possibility. To me, there's no better example of being Christ-like. Yes. Christ laid down his life for us, even though we hated him. And that's exactly what Davy and Natalie did. So it's a modern day example of a Christ-like life and spirit that I think will have just exponential power with this generation, especially. And, you know, we get so caught up in all the things, politics and all the things, and I'm in the middle of all of that. But sometimes we lose sight of what really matters. And I'm telling you what, this has reminded me once again of what really matters.
That is for sure. Folks, we're speaking to Representative Ben Baker. He's a Missouri State Representative. He's a good friend of the station and of many of us here. He is from Southwest Missouri and serves currently in Missouri Legislature. His wonderful daughter, Natalie, son-in-law, her husband, Davy, were killed last week in Haiti. Folks, I'm sure you've heard of this story. It is international in consequence. Ben, with whatever you are able to tell us, and there's probably a lot that you are not, have the plans progressed regarding hopefully a successful mission to bring Davy and Natalie back home? I understand our congressional delegation, which is fantastic, has been very involved in this. And secondly, I know there's a lot of ways for people to give. We have been posting and reposting the GoFundMe pages. I'm sure there is untold costs involved with bringing these two wonderful human beings back home. I'm sure it's complicated. I'm sure it's very expensive. So talk about the latest status of bringing them back home and how folks can still help.
Sure. So as you can imagine, you know, with Haiti being in the condition that it is, it's just, it's literal anarchy. There's almost no government in place. And so doing anything with that has a legal process with it is just extremely difficult. There's so many things that can happen along the way. And then communication is difficult. There's just, you know, so many things in this process that's been, and we have such an angst about getting them home safe to the United States of America and getting them home. So there is a process in place that I think, you know, barring unforeseen things, which is possible, but it's been quite a job to try to get this put together and all the things that have to happen, the documents that have to be put into place before they can transit, and then the security involved in any kind of transporting ground, especially ground transportation in Haiti, because of the situation there. And so we do have an airline that has agreed, which was probably at one point was the biggest hurdle, was because they just opened the airport and there's very few people flying in there, very few airlines. So finding an airline that would agree, we do have that in place. So if everything, you know, goes smoothly, I think we could see possibly by the end of the week, them back into the States so that we can, you know, have services and all of that. The support and the outpouring of love that we have received from this has been just remarkable and touched our hearts in so many ways. People started GoFundMe pages, you know, trying to help in any way that they could. And it's just unbelievable to watch how people have been so generous to try to give and help us get them home. And that's our biggest thing. There's also many needs still there in Haiti with missions in Haiti. The Lloyds, you know, all that's still up in the air. The kids have been dispersed temporarily. The houses, one house was burned and they were all looted. And, you know, all of this is still up in the air with what's going on in Haiti. Jude's family, the other young man, the Haitian man that died and was killed, his family desperately needs prayer. Jonas, the one that found Davy and Natalie and Jude's bodies and had to see all of this take place, and he's 26 years old. He's dealing with some serious trauma issues, and there's no one really there personally to help him through that. So there's just a lot of prayer needs, that just so many moving parts to all of this, and we never want to make it about us. Like, the Lloyds need prayer. Jonas needs prayer. You know, Jude's family needs prayer. He has two young kids. And so there's just so many things here that people can help with. Through the funeral home, there will be a link that people can give to as well. And all of that we're directing. Our wishes is that everything is directed to missions to Haiti. We want to help the Lloyds. And I intend at one point, if God allows me to go to Haiti and to go back when Davy's father goes back. I feel compelled to do that. And so there's just a lot of things involved with this, but just know that we sure appreciate the people who have sent so many messages. I can't even keep up with it all. At some point we will, but we love everybody that has been telling Davey and Natalie's story and that has poured out their love toward us in all of this.
Representative Baker, I just want to say that you and your family are in our thoughts and our prayers, and if there is anything we can do here at News Talk SCL, please don't hesitate to ask us with any way that we can assist. We want to help you in this tragedy.
Thank you so much. It means everything to our family right now.
Ben, thank you so much for joining us, and just so sorrowful and for this painful loss. And I'm thinking of you and praying for you every day, brother, and hope to get to see you soon. Thank you so much, Ben, for joining us today.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Tim. Have a good day.
Thank you, too, as well. That's Ben Baker, folks. you can follow him, and there's a lot of information that he is putting up on his Twitter X feed, at Ben Baker Mo. And you can follow my good old producer, Cass. Chris and I both know Cass very well. Cass now works for the Vitae Foundation, but I couldn't think of a better person the family could have chosen to be the official media spokesperson, the conduit. You can imagine, Chris, the inquiries that are coming in. We want to thank the Bakers so much for coming on our program. It really meant a lot to us. We wanted to get the word out. Cass is at Cass B. Anderson on Twitter, at Cass B. Anderson. Cass is posting an update at least once a day, if not twice a day, with everything you need to know about the situation. Finally, I believe there's two official GoFundMes. The one that I've been closely tracking and retweeting and reposting, if you go to GoFundMe, it says support for Baker and Lloyd families. It was set up by one of Ben's friends, Chris Slinkard, and fellow colleague Representative Dirk Deaton, who is very close friends with Ben. And so there's that one. I think there's another one as well. Chris, the goal for this one was originally $20,000. It's about to hit $70,000, which is fantastic, because
it's going to be double, triple.
Yeah.
Easy.
Can you imagine the cost associated with trying to get people back home from this country right now? And they are due the largest memorial service they can put on.
And he spelled it out. I mean, there's not an airline that wants to fly to Haiti. It's not safe. So I'm glad that they found an airline to secure getting the remains out of there. I just wondered, I didn't want to be insensitive or anything like that, but I'm like, hey, if there is not an airline that feels it's safe to go in there to Haiti, we need to send in a C-130.
Yeah.
Or an American military plane to go in there and get those kids home.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of ridiculousness going on right now that we didn't want to get to Ben with. He's obviously, this is a wound, this is a deep wound, and we've all had tragedies in our lives. And, you know, I tell the story sometimes of my aunt who died decades ago, and that wound is still there. This is a wound that's going to last forever. We'll get into some of the political stuff later, but there's some ridiculous crap going on right now. Some of the gun control advocates, it's just, Chris talked about this earlier. Yeah. How stupid to bring that up when you're dealing with an island nation that had an assassination of its president 3 years ago and is in complete and utter civil unrest and chaos.
And they don't have good gun laws. That's why this happens.
So it's
insane.
So that's a stupid conversation. The second one is, of course, the liberal lunatics are making hay out of the fact that Donald Trump called Ben Baker. Good. That draws attention to this.
Why hasn't
Biden called Ben Baker? This doesn't need to be political. And so, good for President Trump. Yeah. We played that phone call. It was completely appropriate. Every leader in the United States of America should be calling the Baker family and asking how they can help. Right.
President Biden should have been one of the first calls that they receive. Second should have been the Secretary of State.
Yeah. Instead, he's having campaign stops in the Trump trial in New York. It's ridiculous. I hope this put a lot of things in perspective for you all. I hope you can help this family. We will post that interview very quickly here. We'll be right back.
And the GoFundMe information, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll continue to talk about this and a lot of other issues with Dr. Randy Tolbert when we come back here on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show at 101.9-94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Look, I think going to the Libertarian Convention was smart. According to Gallup, they represent 17-20% of the American electorate. Maybe you shave off 8% of them. That can make a difference in a very, very tight presidential race. Regardless of the reasons, going to the Bronx, it's important. No one should be presumptive to assume that people of color are going to just vote one way purely because they're black or because they're Hispanic. That seems to be the case for my Democratic friends. And I think it's why a lot of people of color are looking at Joe Biden and they're realizing that my life is not better. When I go to the grocery store, things are expensive. The infrastructure in my surrounding community has not improved. And when I think about the future for my children, they're still in dilapidated schools where the education system is deplorable. That's the Democratic message in my perspective. And so to have a Republican show up, whether he's being booed, jeered, whatever the case may be, he's showing up to places where Joe Biden is not, and I think that's going to make a difference.
Top political strategist there making the point that as Donald Trump appears to be expanding his electoral map, Joe Biden's seems to be narrowing. Let's bring in our next guest to ask him about that and so much more.
Gentlemen, we're about to enter the fascinating sphere of police work. The world of forensic medicine.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Randy Tobler, truth warrior, woke destroyer.
Doctor, give me the news. As he does on Tuesday afternoons. It is a Tuesday today. Feels like a Monday. It's a Monday on a Tuesday. Yes. Dr. Randy Tobler joining us once again. Doc, before we get into some of those big top issues of the day, I know producer Joey just told you we had a really powerful emotional interview with State Representative Ben Baker. You know, Doc, you doctors are, you know, you're very missionary. There's a lot of famous missionaries who have been doctors over the eons. Doc, we were making the point, and Representative Ben Baker was making right back to us that, you know, if we as human beings don't continue to help out our fellow man, whether they're down the block in North St. Louis or whether they're an ocean away, then humankind will simply self-immolate itself in its own, you know, selfish lack of self-awareness, right?
Yeah, you have, in a civilized society that has, you know, freedom of movement and to varying degrees and freedom of action to varying degrees in various places, unfortunately, you know, a lot of people, if left to their own base instincts and their primal activities, will go the wrong way. And it's only through the messaging of the gospel and, you know, the Abrahamic faiths, for that matter, I mean, the Judeo-Christian faith, that really, I think, helps rein our very base instincts in. And so when people like his daughter and son-in-law go to these godforsaken places to try to bring that message to people who either haven't heard them or have rejected that message, and in fact, you know, as we saw, bought into a demonic message, it's perhaps the most noble of of activities that a human being can do, to go into the belly of the beast, literally the beast, and to try to spread the good news of the gospel. I mean, that is just, it's an amazing and new, it's a superhuman feat, really. I don't think all of us are up to that kind of putting yourself in harm's way in to try to give a message of hope and salvation to a fellow human being. And it's just, man, I'm telling you, it's just so tragic. The emotion that he has, and thank God for his abiding faith, right? Because I don't know how a man like that, or any man and his wife, could get through that when they lose a child. Mm-hmm. It's got to be the most difficult of times that we could ever imagine. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Tobler, my partner alluded to it earlier, how Donald Trump is looking to expand the map. We saw last week he did an event in the South Bronx. It went very well. He had a couple of rappers were on the stage. On Saturday, he attempted to expand his base a little bit with the Libertarian Party, but it didn't go as well.
But last night, a far less friendly reception than Trump typically sees at his own rallies. The crowd at the Libertarian National Convention booing the former president.
Combine with us. You have to combine with us. We cannot give crooked Joe Biden four more years.
In 2016, Trump was able to reach voters outside traditional party lines. But this year,
the Libertarian Party should nominate Trump for president of the United States. Whoa. Maybe you don't want to win. Maybe you don't want to win.
Libertarian voters seem hesitant to support the former president.
I would rather eat my own foot out of a bear trap.
That's pretty strong sentiments there. Dr. Tobler, your analysis.
My analysis is that even though they may overtly express some problems and have some contention with the president, unlike Joe Biden, he doesn't just flip with the wind and tell people what they want to hear at every turn. And it takes courage to stand up there and knowing that you're going to have some hostility to the crowd like that. Yeah, sort of challenge him in a what I think was a playful way. It's like, hey, if you want to win, join my team. Don't waste your vote. I thought it was good. And Look, he wasn't speaking to the Libertarian Party. He was speaking to the rest of us. Mm. It's like, hey, I should be this big tent is expanding more than a six ring circus tent under Barnum and Bailey, right? I mean, and you know, whether it's people in the Bronx of one of the most diverse audiences you could ever see, whether it's people in Minnesota, whether it's the libertarians, you know, he's not taking any hostages. He wants everyone to come in and be a part of the movement. I think that was the real message. I don't know that it was really intended for the libertarians, even though he spoke to them.
Mm-hmm. And Doc, don't you think this election, if people really sit back and think about it, and I really hope they do this year, the contrast couldn't be starker, right? I mean, Donald Trump, despite what the left, despite how much panic the left has about Donald Trump getting back in the White House and never leaving ever again, we know that if he does win, he's going to serve 4 years, and that's going to be it. He's going to move on. But what he represents is a movement, right? A movement of people that want to preserve and protect the institutions of America that are under attack. Let's be honest, the Democratic Party has shifted so far to the left that with all their protestations about saving democracy, they're the ones that seem to be attacking it the most, right? And so this is a bigger question than just Trump versus Biden. This is bigger than a cult of one person or another. This is, I think, a choice of saving the United States of America as it's looked for the last 235 plus years, don't you think?
Well, yeah. And look, I mean, I think this latest desperation announcement from the White House that using the bully pulpit of the President of the United States after there is a trial, no matter how it turns out, that he's going to allegedly, from the White House, as the President, make a comment on a trial of a private citizen who, just happens to be running for his office.
Mm.
That to me, you talk about destroying democracy. Look, I think there's always been a little bit of a blurred line between a campaign event and a presidential event, an incumbent president. This is in your face, blatant, as far as I can see, total violation of those laws. I mean, what's the name of it, Tim? You know, when you're using the public office to campaign, I mean, it's just not right.
Mm-hmm.
I think that goes to the point of what you're saying. Talk about destroying democracy. I mean, you know, the voters vote that, you know, they want one thing one way. The people speak. The polls are speaking that we don't want we don't want EVs. We want fuel powered cars until the technology catches up. Until and if we're fed up with all of the mandates and all of the top down, you know, agenda and ideologically driven dictates from this president, from this administration, far left. Holy, what is unelected on? He was elected to be a moderate, a divider, a uniter. Look what he's done. So in not so subtle ways, he's the real destroyer of democracy. And the more their voices are raised, the more shrill they are, the more Robert De Niro's they bring to the courthouse steps, the more they prove that, wow, democracy only seems to work if it works for the progressive Democrats. That's not my definition of democracy. And I think a lot of Americans increasingly are saying, we're done with you people. You speak out of one side of your mouth, but your actions belie that.
Dr. Tobler got a story right in your wheelhouse, sir. According to the Wall Street Journal, the global fertility rate is falling and soon will be too low to keep the population constant. I'm not going to ask you the simple question of how do we remedy that. Of course, we know that. But from a cultural, philosophical, whatever, how do we get more babies being born? Besides the obvious.
If you want more babies being born, if I need to explain that to you, you and Mikey can have a free visit to the office. We'll go over some diagrams.
I like to practice, but anyway.
Here's the story. I hear a lot of young people. I mean, there's a biological reason behind decreasing fertility rates. A lot of it has to do with obesity, what that does to fertility in men and women. Men's sperm counts go down if they put on weight, and it sort of plays with their hormones that way. The delay of pregnancy because of the changing expectations and choices that U.S. women are making, I think, explains some of that in this account. But more and more young people tell me, and you know, I sit across the desk from people all the time, couples that are seeing us for one or the other may be seeing us for a medical reason. We ask them about children. No, we don't want to bring children into the world if they're progressive because of the climate change, and we don't want to create more carbon footprints and, you know, that whole deal. If they're more economically minded. They're like, how can we afford this? And this economy is terrible. We can't even pay the rent on our house, much even think about buying a house. I think the best way to raise fertility rates in the United States of America is to improve the economy. People feel prosperous, and they don't feel like they're in the middle of a depression, having to, you know, work five jobs to have a child, which is in itself challenging. Well, you know, all of us know that are on this call. So I think improving the economy is probably the very best way to turn that around. It's a multifactorial thing. There may be some toxic things as well. I mean, a lot of plastics in the environment, a lot of the xenoestrogens and sort of, you know, things in pesticides and herbicides and all the chemicals that we're exposed to in the plastics really can sometimes act as, you know, sort of pseudo hormones and can really foul up the systems that God so elegantly designed. So we've got a lot of work to do in that. And it's really, it does become a security threat to a country if you can't replace your, you know, if you don't have a good replacement rate, if you can't replace your population. And, you know, you even hear some conservatives talking about, wow, we need to really have very liberal immigration policies. Well, do we really want that? I actually think that if there is going to be a time for a slowdown in reproduction with AI eliminating jobs one after another by the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, I think maybe it's not a bad thing, because I think you're going to see an awful lot of people out of work very soon in large numbers. It's a train, freight train coming towards us. So I'm really worried about what that's going to do to productivity. On the one hand, if it increases it exponentially, well, that decreases the demand for labor. So we'll have to see.
Absolutely does. Doc, thanks so much for all your time. We each had about another dozen questions or so, yes, but we'll save them for next week. Doc, in the meantime, what are you going to be talking about this week on 93.9 The Eagle, and then heading into the weekend here on News Talk STL? But you got a lot of topics on your mind.
Yeah, I think no doubt everyone is really focusing on the Trump trial and see when that's going to come out. And I think the offball from that rhetorically from each side, and no matter how it comes out, and, you know, then the follow-up polling, whether there's some flash polls out, I think that's going to be the news of the day. Mm-hmm. And it feels like a Monday, so I haven't even started the session yet.
We hear you. We always appreciate your insight and analysis, Randy. Thank you so much for everything you do here for us at News Talk STL.
Good to be with you.
Thank you, Doc.
Thank you as well. He's at Randy Tobler, MD, at Randy Tobler, MD on Twitter X. He's here every Saturday morning. It's a fantastic show. Great way to kick off your weekend, 6 to 9 a.m. The Randy Tobler Show begins our fantastic weekend programming here at News Talk STL. Chris, that was an incredibly fast, quick, emotional show. It's 5:46 in the p.m. We're going to catch our breath. We'll come back with whatever's remaining in your stack of stuff.
We're going to talk about movies in a world where time stands still. What do you think, Joey? Think I got a voiceover job?
Makes me want to buy some Jewels on Hampton.
Jewels on Hampton.
Pretty good.
All of that, Larry Connors USA teaser, and more when we return on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show, 101.9/94.1. This is News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Tonight, the sports world is remembering basketball Hall of Famer Bill Walton. The two-time NBA champion died today at 71 after a long battle with cancer.
For decades, he treated basketball fans to colorful, quirky commentary. But on the court, it was his dominant play that did all the talking. Winning two national championships at UCLA for legendary coach John Wooden, and then two NBA titles with the Portland Trail Blazers and Boston Celtics. Walton always embraced the counterculture, arrested as a UCLA student opposing the war in Vietnam and advocating for marijuana before it became legal.
5:52 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. NBA great Bill Walton, as you heard there, has passed. I have to admit, I have never been a big NBA fan. One, because we didn't have NBA in St. Louis while I was growing up. We did have the ABA, the St. Louis Spirits, where the great Dr. J played on, but I wasn't exposed to a lot of basketball, so I wasn't a big a fan of it as I was baseball and football. But I remember Bill Walton, those great Trailblazer teams. I remember him in the mid-80s with the Celtics team, had a great collegiate career, did not have He had a Hall of Fame career in the NBA, but he could have had much better stats. He just had constant foot injuries, which limited him some. But Bill Walton, one of the great players of the 70s and 80s, dead at 71. Mm. Joy, let's talk about some movies, my friend. According to this paper I have here, this summer should have 32 wide releases and 40 movies opening in 500-plus theaters. Deadpool and Wolverine is a Marvel movie, and it's the only superhero movie until the Joker sequel in October. Do you have any comments on that?
It's pretty sad out there for the box office. I don't know if you know this, but Mad Max, the fifth one in the installment, came out. And obviously you'd think that'd be number one. It almost got beat by Garfield. You didn't even know there was a Garfield movie out.
I didn't know the cat made another movie.
I think it beat it by $1 million. So
what?
It was like 27 million versus 26 million. So people just aren't going out for this Mad Max movie like a lot of people thought. It would be the savior of the box office.
All right. And Joey, we talked about this before the show. Mm-hmm. Why is that? I think the word got out about this movie that it wasn't your typical Mad Max adventure film, right?
It's a little too similar to Fury Road, and Fury Road is paced incredibly. It goes by so quick, and this one is more talking. It's a little longer and also kind of similar. It's not as groundbreaking. There was a big gap between Thunderdome and Fury Road. You know, Fury Road came out 8 years ago or so, 9 years ago, and it's just audiences don't care that much anymore.
Joy, the summer movie season kicked off this month with Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt's The Fall Guy and Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. How are those movies doing? And are they any good?
Fall Guy is a lot of fun, but it's a silly comedy, just like the TV show was, if you ever watched that back in the 80s. So it's crazy that I'm hearing that they spent $150 million on Fall Guy. It would have been an easy moneymaker if they'd just kept the pocketbook a little bit tighter, but I think it had reshoots, and it was in Australia, and it's a big stunt movie with explosions. It is below expectations, but Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is actually blowing people away, and it's beyond expectations. People
really
are loving the Planet of the Apes, and that's the 10th.
I was wondering how many were there. Okay, Joey, June will be the fourth installment of Bad Boys. How excited are you for that?
I don't know if this is a big announcement.
This is the fourth one.
I didn't even know there was three.
I missed the two in the middle.
Yeah, there's four, Joey. How excited are you?
I think I have decided to boycott Martin Lawrence and Will Smith. They're just after that slap at the Oscars and Chris Rock. Like, why would I support anything that he does?
You gotta let it go, Joy. And there is a highly anticipated premiere of The Bike Riders starring Austin Butler. Mm-hmm. I know nothing about Hollywood, so why is this an anticipated premiere?
Well, it's got Austin Butler, who played Elvis, and then he was too tall.
Elvis wasn't that tall. Whenever I see the previews for that movie, I'm like, they've got Elvis way too tall. He wasn't that tall.
It's got Tom Hardy in it also. He played Bane in the Batman movie. So it's Elvis and Bane on motorcycles. The problem is, I think that it's trying to be a Scorsese movie, but it doesn't live up to the hype. So we'll see if audiences care about that. But Austin Butler, he's dreamy to look at. So I imagine the ladies might show up.
July will bring the space race calm Fly Me to the Moon. What the hell is that, Joy?
What is Fly Me to the Moon? What is that?
That's what it says here. Space race rom-com. I don't know what that is. All right. August.
Romantic comedy.
Is it romantic comedy? Sinatra, okay. August. Alien, Romulus, and the thrillers Cuckoo and Trap. Those are coming out from M. Night Shyamalan. Is he
M. Night Shyamalan? He's the tricky guy. He's always got a trick ending at the end.
Sixth Sense.
That was a fantastic movie. Fantastic movies. All right, Joey, I may want to go to the movies now. Great show, guys, today for a Tuesday. I can't believe not once did we say it was Monday. Larry Connors USA is up next. Larry will have Gordon Chi Chang. He'll explain how China is preparing for war while Biden sleeps. Democratic strategist James Carville admits Biden is losing black male voters. And a DEI trainer admits DEI is BS. You've been listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Drive safe and have a great evening.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.